Welcome to the Professional Plumber Podcast. We hope that these podcasts will bring some insight into who we are and what we do. So while in conversation with the PIRB, sit back, enjoy, and make sure to connect with the PIRB on Facebook or at pirb.co.za for more.
A warm welcome to our audience. My name is Willem Klopper. I'm your host. And this episode is part two of a conversation in which we discuss certificates of compliance, or alternatively known as COCs, of the PIRB. Now with me in studio, I have Chanel Aysel, Virginia Buttelezi, and of course, Richard Bailey. We'll give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves right after this.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
Just before I fire away with the remainder of the questions that I have for you for our discussion, would you please just very briefly remind the audience of who you are? Chanel, if you would just let the audience know who you are, what your current role within the PIRB is, and just a couple of your responsibilities within that position.
Hi, Willem. Thanks. I'm the manager of the COC department, and I'm about 9 years with the PIRB. Working with the COCs, helping the plumbers, resellers, that's mainly what we do in the COC department.
Virginia, how about yourself?
Hi, Willem. I'm Virginia, the COC administrator. I've been with PIRB for 3 years. I'm helping the plumbers on how to log COC and selling them on a daily basis.
Richard, where do you fit in with this department or this function within the PIRB?
As far as the COCs are concerned, I get involved when once they've been issued and logged. I suppose that's where I fit in. But on the ground and physical audits on the ground.
So can I ask, we've determined when a COC must be issued. But when must the COC be logged? And I think we've mentioned earlier on that there's a 5-day period from having completed the work on site and then actually logging it into the system. So that is when they need to log it. They've got 5 days. What happens if a printed version of a COC is lost?
The plumber has to call the PIRB office and our department. Then we issue them with the affidavit so that they can give us the reason why the COC is lost or any information regarding the COC. Then it has to be taken to the police station for stamp. Then they have to send it back to us so that we can cancel the COC out of their profile.
So you cancel it from their profile? And the system then recognizes that specific COC number as
being cancelled and
being cancelled and lost.
Affidavit for that.
All right. So even if another plumber should ever pick that up somewhere along the road and wants to then use it to sign it off for plumbing work that he's done and try to log it in the system, they won't be successful. Is that correct?
Yeah, but the other plumber can log the other plumber's COC because as soon as the plumber buy the COC. That specific COC is being allocated under the plumber's profile.
All right. And even if a COC is lost and cancelled for that matter within the system, it still cannot be used by another. Should another plumber pick it up and try to log it on his name?
No, he can't.
All right. So we've spoken about how plumbers can purchase. There are obviously different methods of purchasing. You mentioned that they put in either a manual order or they purchase it directly off of the PIRB's online system. But is there a specific limit that is attached to how many COCs any specific plumber can purchase? And if there is a limit, why is there a limit?
Most of the guys got a limit of 20 COCs on their profile. It's to make sure that they go and log the COCs. Let's say the plumber have 20 COC certificates on his profile, but he haven't gone and logged it, and he come to us or to a PIRB reseller and wants to buy another one. So the system won't allow him to buy new COCs because the other COCs hasn't been logged yet. So that's the reason why there is a limit for COCs on every plumber's profile.
So if a plumber has a limit of 20 COCs and he purchases 15 COCs and he then purchases, or let's say for that matter, he purchases 20 COCs, which is his limit. And he may have filled them out and issued them to customers or to the consumers out there, but he hasn't actually gone onto the system and logged the COCs on the system and informed the PRB accordingly that the COCs have now been issued to clients. Now he tries to purchase a COC on the system on his profile again. What you're saying is he hasn't logged any of the 20 that he's logged, so he's now trying to purchase another 5. The system will not allow him to purchase another 5.
Yes, that's correct. We normally ask them that you fill out the COCs. If you did, please go and lock your certificates. If not, and it's still clean, you can still use those certificates. Once you've locked it, you're more than welcome to come back and buy your COCs then.
Right. So of the 20 that he has with him, he logs 5. That leaves him with 15 that he hasn't logged yet, and his limit is 20. So that will allow him to purchase 20 more. Is that correct?
Five more. If you log 5, the system will allow us to put 5 over to his profile. And just another thing about the lost of COCs to be cancelled, I see Virginia forgot about it. Once you've cancelled more than 20 COCs, your PRB COC limit will be moved down to 5.
All right. Automatically? Is that done by the system, or is it done?
We in the office will need to move it down, yes.
Richard, if a plumber has their own COC, why can't they just use that? I mean, plumbers know what should be filled in on COC, so they can just as well go onto Microsoft Word for that matter and then generate their own sort of certificate of compliance. Why can't they use just any piece of paper with information filled in on it? Why is there a reason why they should use only the professional bodies, PRB or the PRB certificates for that matter?
Well, you know, it's like me going to replace a pipe for a client, and the client SMSs me afterwards and says, "Hey, Richard, was that did everything go to plan?" And I say, "Yes, it's all good." Doesn't that then constitute a COC? I have just confirmed to that client that it is compliant, and it's done properly. I mean, that in essence that carries the same value as anything I can put on my letterhead regarding my own work. That's why we have things like peer review. It's not me telling you how I did my own work. It's my peers confirming that fact. So the COC from professional body is set up in such a way, and through the audit process, through the peer review process, if you want to put it in that, describe it like that, it is assuring the client and the greater public out there that there are processes in place to check to see when a plumber self-declares that a particular installation has been done according to standard, that it has in fact been done so. And if we find it to be lacking, we ask him to rectify. And if it's becomes a repeat offense sort of habit from a particular plumber, he will ultimately, if it comes to that, not be allowed to issue certificates of compliance anymore. In other words, it's the professional body will be saying to him, Mr. Plummer, you've been asked repeatedly to not do this. You repeatedly insist on doing it that way. And for that reason, we are no longer willing to have you as a registered plumber with us. So you don't reach the standard which we require within this body. So it's a wholly professional sort of process and peer review process that sets it apart from any old piece of paper. Now, don't get me wrong. I used to assure clients all the time, and this is what we do. And in my case, it was probably right. When I said it was right, it was right. But and so most plumbers out there as well. It's not to take away from. It's not to say that plumbers are unable to be truthful or anything like that. That is not what I'm saying. But the fact is that if it's a requirement of law that a certificate of compliance is issued from a professional body, those are the reasons behind it. And I hope that came through the right way.
Absolutely. That clarifies that question that I had. Thank you so much, Richard. Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy to follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber.
And now, back to our conversation. We know Virginia has said before in this conversation, or a little earlier in this conversation, that one plumber cannot log a COC that has been allocated to another plumber, because the COC number is then uniquely attached or associated with the plumber that it has been allocated to. But what about issuing a COC on another plumber's work? Is that possible? Can one plumber issue a COC on another plumber's work? Chanel?
Yes, they can, but the other plumber needs to give proof that he did do the work. And once the plumber signs off a PRB certificate with his PRB registration number on it and his signature, he will take full responsibility for someone else's work. So let's say something goes wrong, the client phones the plumber who signed off the COC. He can then tell the other plumber to go and fix it, or tell the client, please phone the plumber who did come and do the installation. But we don't recommend that somebody else signs off someone else's work.
It may happen in a scenario where you have a plumber who's not a licensed plumber. He is the one who performs the actual work on site. But then in his same company, there is a more, for lack of better words, a more senior and a more qualified plumber who is indeed a registered licensed plumber with a PRB, and who can then go and inspect the work, perhaps not audit it like an auditor, but inspect the work to see if it complies and then sign it off. Would that be a typical scenario? If I
yes, they can do it. Most of the companies got learner plumbers that is doing the work. So the qualified plumber just go out, make sure everything is correct according to the sans codes, and then he signs off the PRB certificates.
And then again, just reiterating the fact that they should know that they are taking accountability and responsibility for another
plumbers,
person's work,
yes,
that has been done.
Yes.
Chanel, what about resellers?
Willem, can I
yeah, for sure,
jump
Richard.
In there just to put a comment in there?
Yeah.
Just with regards to that, I just want to be clear that the PRB do not allow for a plumber to issue certificates for other plumbers' work willy-nilly. We must just be clear that the scenario you've just painted now within the same company, and the key words is under my adequate supervision. Those are the key words. So I can't issue a COC for my Uncle Sam, who is not a plumber in two cities away. That I can't do. What I can do is issue certificates for work that has been performed by plumbers that are working directly under my supervision, because I have supervised those jobs, and I take full responsibility for it. But I want to separate that scenario from the one where there are two completely separated plumbers, they're friends, you know, they or whatever. You can't do that. You cannot have a case where plumbers have gone through much cost, much effort, much time, as we call it, the cliche, blood, sweat, and tears, to become registered with the BIRB, because it takes time and money and effort, and you've got to upkeep your 25 CPD points, and you've got to do all these things. It's not just a free ride. It's an effort to be registered, and it should be, because this is a profession. So when somebody has gone through that effort, is it fair for him to be expected to simply dish out certificates to those plumbers that have not bothered going through the required effort to become a professional plumber? No. So that to me, I must just be very clear of. Unless it's under your direct supervision, you cannot issue a CSC for anybody
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. I could almost say that it would be a misrepresentation or a little bit unethical to do things like that. Chanel, I've heard you use the word resellers a little bit earlier in the conversation. What exactly is a reseller? What role do they have? What role do they play? And where do they fit into the bigger picture?
The PRB reseller is selling the PRB certificates, the paper-based one for us, because most of the guys are in Cape Town or with in KZN, Limpopo. There is more plumbing stores there where they can go and buy that. And most of them is using the electronic CRCs, but some of the guys like to use the paper one. So it's easier for them to quickly pop into a reseller store and go and buy a paper CRC to sign up. Most of them normally do it at the job where they are, or they take it to the office and fill it in at the office.
So it's a type of a convenient method of purchasing COCs. I mean, they're much closer to the area where the plumber operates in than what the PRB's head office is, for that matter. And then, you know, it sort of alleviates the logistics around couriering a batch of paper COCs to the plumber if he's ordered it or something like that. He can just walk into a reseller's, whether that's an office or a store for that matter, and then purchase COCs from the reseller.
Yes, they also just need to remember to take their PRB card with them, otherwise they are not going to sell COCs to them.
So there is a process of verification on the reseller side. They have to ensure that they are selling it to, the actual really licensed and registered plumber. Is that correct?
Yes. From on the new system, once they go to a reseller store and they give their PRB registration number with the card, so they can see exactly who the plumber is. Once they allocate the certificate, the system will send an SMS to the plumber's cell phone number with an OTP pin that they need to give to the reseller to allocate those COCs.
So it's actually a two-tier or two-level authentication for that matter. So one, they can verify that the plumber is who they say they are with the registration card, and secondly, they can then also, by the plumber giving them the OTP, the one-time PIN, that's a second method of verification or authentication.
Yes, that's correct.
Just before wrapping up this conversation, have a listen to this. We'd like to encourage our audience to follow Articulated Plumber on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about any exciting and interesting news that we may have. Our handle on both Instagram and Facebook is Articulated Plumber. Are there any last words or statements, final words or statements to our audience members out there from any one of you, Richard, yourself, Chanel, or Virginia?
Okay, Willem, just, my big thing is, and I don't know, I've got this way of seeing things which are slightly different to normal people, because I'm not normal, and then I like to focus on changing people's mindsets and the way in which they perceive things. So on the face of it, you look at something like the process of issuing COCs, the process of being audited, the fact that the COC costs a significant amount of money, and you look at it, and if you were to judge it on the face of it, you would be left with a negativity in your mouth. You look at it and say, but that's a negative thing for me, because now I'm having to buy this thing, I'm having to go through the effort of logging it, and I'm having to jump through all these hoops, and then someone still comes back to that site and tells me that I've done this wrong. It's a woe me and terrible me, but that is a perception, and it is a natural perception. But if you were to look at it from the intent, the intended reason for it coming about in the first place. And that is from an overview, a higher level, looking down at an industry which was flagging, which was really directionless, didn't know what to do, how to bring up its standards. Across the board, we were seeing installations that were not only bad installations on the face of it, but just simply dangerous. Dangerous immediately to people walking past it, and also generally dangerous to public health. This is a very, very important trade. So the purpose of the COC process, the reason we all exist, is to try and uplift this trade. Get the standards up to where they are supposed to be. It's not pie in the sky. It's not something which we should like dream about and it's all wishy-washy. It's not. It's where it's supposed to be. It was there at one time. So it's going to get there again. And this is the way to achieve it. In uplifting the standard, the quality, the perception of the plumbing trade, the plumbing industry as a whole, we are inadvertently uplifting ourselves as professionals. So at the end of the day, this entire process, if I can put it in a nutshell, has been put together not only to uplift the quality of plumbing, but in so doing, uplifting my status as a plumber. Becoming a professional in a field is no mean feat. And I am a professional, and we are professionals. And without us respecting our trade enough to have systems like this in place, that you've got to sweat in order to become a plumber. Yes, you must. It's a profession. It's not a freebie. So if we look at it from that aspect, then we can actually stand up and say, you know what? The CSC process and auditing process is the best thing that's ever happened to this trade. And it is. That's the way in which you need to look at it. And many people will look at it and say, oh, well, they'll just refuse to even hear what I've just said for the last 30 seconds. That's okay, because there's always going to be those. But most people, if you're reasonable and you listen to reason, you will look at it and you'll say, my goodness, what a brilliant thing to have happened to this industry. Because look what it's doing for the perception out there to plumbers. I'm being looked at differently on a daily basis because they know that I am a plumber. And that is happening more and more. And so that, to me, is the fruits of this labor. And it's undeniable. So that's my last thought, Philip. Thank you very much.
Would it suffice to say that, you know, to sum up what you've just said in your last statement or closing words to the audience, would it suffice to sum it up as this is not a punitive measure? It's not a punitive effort. It's rather for improvement and uplifting the industry as a whole and uplifting your image as a professional plumber. Sweet and short, just sum it up like that. Is it suffice to say that?
100%. That is exactly what I mean. It is not a punitive measure. It is not in place as a punishment. That is not its concept. That is not how it was conceived. The only reason you conceive something like this is to try and improve something, uplift, betterment. Correct. So, yes, that is correct.
Well, I want to, thank you for your time and your effort. And Richard, thanks for you for dialing in to the two ladies, my two guests in studio here. Thank you so much for your time and your effort. I do believe that in this conversation, we've answered and clarified quite a few questions that our audience members may have had. Thanks for your time, Richard. Thank you, Chanel. Thank you, and Virginia. And then, of course, thanks to our audience. It's for you that we do these sessions and these chats. So thank you so much for having tuned in and listened.
Thanks for having tuned in. Make sure to read more about the PIRB on our website at pirb.co.za and on our social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.